Hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Brian Barrett.
Well, good morning. Welcome in to Action Line. It's John Day here with us this morning. That's the voice you hear quite frequently here on the air, telling you about some of the specialties that they take care of and what they do, and John's desire to help folks here in our community. John Day, appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you very much, Brian. Glad to be here.
So, first of all, I don't know that we've ever had the chance to do this, or have we? And maybe years ago?
I think we did one time 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I remember talking before and after about the work that, of course, you do with all the local athletic events. And then we followed up on that from time to time here in the studio over the years. But, yes, I do believe that we've been together on this program at least one time.
Yeah. Now that you mention that. I can't remember what I did yesterday.
I think you fell asleep, which was sort of embarrassing and disappointing to me, but that's all right.
Well,
I'll try to keep you awake today.
It is kind of easy to fall asleep during this time of the day, but I have to thank our friend Lisa Highshide for actually kind of getting us together years ago.
Yes, that's right. Judge Highshide is a wonderful asset to this community. You know, it is so nice to see outstanding lawyers be willing to go to the bench to serve the public as a judge. I have many criteria for people who I think should be judges. It's not only that they be lawyers and that they be smart and that they be honest, but they're also a person who will take a pay cut. By that I mean, you want the type of lawyer who in his or her career has got the experience and is at the point in their career where they're making very, very good money and decide that they're going to shift their talents to serving the public, which almost every single one of them means taking a pay cut. The exception is somebody who comes out of the district attorney's office or the public defender's office, and
they've already had a pay cut.
Yeah, they've been taking their pay cut their whole life.
Yeah.
But when lawyers from private practice are willing to take that pay cut and serve the public, and I'm sure Lisa falls in that category, all of us are served by that, and I applaud her and every other judge who's willing to do that.
We have a pretty good group here in this district, 16th Judicial.
No question about it. I mean, I will say this. Because of some work I do with the State Judicial Conference, I can't say that I know every trial judge in the state of Tennessee, but I think I know 70 or 80% of them. They're some of the new appointees from the more distant ends of the state. I don't know or know well enough just to have shaken their hand. But across the state, we are blessed with a large number of judges who get it. You know, they get it. They are there to serve. They take their job very, very seriously. And we are blessed with their willingness to serve.
Well, you have you've been a jet setter lately. You were telling me that you're all over the country with your, I guess, recent appointment. Well, you told us about that a few months ago, I think. But did you say anything about that on the air? Because this is pretty prestigious,
I
think.
Well, I can't remember if Bart and I talked about it or not. But basically what it is there's a group called the American College of Trial Lawyers, which is based in California. And it is organization of 5,400 of the leading trial lawyers in Canada and the United States that is an invitation-only group. In other words, you can't send in $100 and get a plaque or $1,000 and get a plaque and a certificate. It doesn't work that way. It's a two-year vetting process to be invited into the group. And I was invited in September of 2001, actually became a member. We call it a fellow in March of 2002. And in October of 2025, I will be the president of the organization. So it is, I must tell you that you mentioned the travel. In the last 6 weeks, I've been to Manhattan, Boston, Pittsburgh, right outside of Trenton, New Jersey, and I've been someplace else. I can't remember. It was someplace else in the greater Northeast. And
we need to get you around more beaches or something, you know.
Well, that's coming. That's okay, coming. Good. I've got a great trip. Oh, I got to mention this in 1 second. But what I do is go speak to our fellows and to judges in those communities on behalf of the organization. And it's nice. I was in Kentucky last week in Lexington. That's where it was. So it's nice. It's a wonderful, wonderful honor. But it does take me away from home. But the trip, the beach trip, I got to tell you this. I'm so excited. And more importantly, my wife is excited.
Oh, I bet. Right?
Mm-hmm. Because she gets to go with me. That's one of the nice things is they let us travel together. So we've been invited to speak down in Miami. And one of the speakers, other speakers on the program is going to be Carl Hiaasen. Are you familiar with Carl Hiaasen?
I remember hearing the name, I think.
He's an author. His main gig is writing for the newspaper down in Miami, but he also writes novels.
Okay.
And he's written a bunch of very best-selling novels, and we're going to have the opportunity to have dinner with him.
I think that's my wife probably has some of those.
Oh, so, well, yeah. Well, I've read a lot of his books. I'm rereading the ones I've read, and I'm going to read all the other ones so that I can I'm fully prepared for meeting with him in January in Miami. But we're both very, very excited about that.
You're not going to get to talk. Your wife's going to talk the whole time to him.
That's fine. That's fine. It'll be so that's one of the benefits of this role that I'll be undertaking in October is that my wife and I will get the opportunity to meet lots and lots of people who we wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to meet. For example, at the end of October, we've been invited to as a guest of the UK Supreme Court. And so we will be going to London to spend 3 days with members of their court and then 2 days in Oxford with them. It's
bring your best wig, right?
Well, yes. Yeah.
Aren't you glad that's something that we don't have here?
Right? I am very, very glad. And even the gowning, you know, in Canada, they wear gowns. Some provinces do. And that's different places have different traditions. I'm happy with a coat and tie.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, right?
That's perfectly fine. So thank you for asking about that. It's a big thrill for us. I will say that it's a little overwhelming as I think about it because the dog has caught the bus. In other words, so I'm president. What happens now?
And now what?
It's going to be a busy year.
Well, that's that makes it all fun. And of course, you've got a great staff, great lawyers, great staff at your offices who are going to continue, obviously, things here in Murfreesboro, Nashville, and all around Middle Tennessee.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've got now 29 people who help our clients. So, and I'll be in the office at least 2 days most weeks, many times three. And of course, you know, we all learned during COVID that you can work from anywhere, right?
Sure.
So I'll still have my finger on the pulse of what's going on. That's no problem. But yeah, I'm blessed with a great team.
And a phone within hand because, I mean, you were on a call this morning right before going on the air. So that's just the nature of the beast.
Well, yes. I mean, we're preparing for a trial right now. So it's been the good news, I say this, I hope my wife isn't listening. Well, I know she's not because she's out of town. But she and my daughter are out of town, so I've been able to put in some 14 and 15 hour days without feeling guilty about not going home, because as we're getting ready for trial, you just sort of, it's all hands on deck all the time. Yeah. You know, that's the way it works. So, yeah, I was handling the phone coming in here.
And so leading up to, you know, there are lots of, I think, in and out of the courtroom meetings, but when it's time for the rubber to hit the road, you know, you're going to trial. That's usually, like you say, an all hands on deck kind of thing.
Well, yeah, this trial is July 14th, and it'll last between 8 and 10 days. It's a jury trial, and quite frankly, I haven't been working on much else for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I won't work on much else now for the next 6. But it's a massive case.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's got over 1 million pages of documents. It's extremely complicated legally and factually, covers a time span of 5 years. So there's lots of stuff over the course of 5 years. And so it just takes a tremendous amount of work to get all that in the position to be able to present it to 12 people who are compelled to be there and getting paid $10 a day for it.
Yeah. Oh boy, nothing like that. Maybe a lunch or something like that.
Well, they do get a free lunch. Yes. Yeah. Our jurors do get a free lunch, but they, you know, they sacrifice a lot to do their public duty as jurors, and the responsibility of lawyers is to help them understand the facts, and the judge helps them understand the law, and at the end, justice is done. It's the way it works.
To present, I mean, 1 million pages of documents and materials, and keep, I would think you have to keep a juror's interest to a point, right?
Well, yeah, you don't want them to fall asleep unless they're against you. No, I didn't say that out loud.
Ever happened?
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine.
Believe it or not, I can say this because the gentleman is now deceased. I had a judge fall asleep on me one time.
Oh, no.
Well, it was after lunch, to be fair. Yeah. Okay, uh-huh. And he was an older gentleman, and we woke him up. But it can happen to all of us. And, yeah, the job is to try to keep it interesting enough that people pay attention.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, accidentally drop a book on the floor or something like
That's exactly what I did.
Is that right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I didn't want to embarrass him.
Sure, sure. Well, I don't know how we got off into that, but we're going to talk this morning. And I think what we'll do is we'll take our first break here and then come back. We're going to talk about insurance, home and car insurance, and how to be smart about being, I guess, a customer of insurance. What questions do you need to ask? What do you need to look for? So we're going to jump into that conversation with Attorney John Day this morning. You are listening to The Action Line on News Radio WGNS. Stay tuned.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We really focus on value. They get value. They get more than what they pay for. They get a higher level service. They get higher level food at a price that is a lot more affordable. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value, and again, that they were fulfilled both within their stomach and as well as their pockets. We want them to feel satisfied. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your lawn and garden needs. Also, if you're looking for that great gift idea, please come see us. If you're looking for that perfect outfit or a wedding gift or baby gift, come see us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. And if you haven't heard, we also carry the rain chains if you're looking for something to replace your old gutter or put somewhere where you can't put a gutter. Come see us at the Co-op Farm and Home Center, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Good morning. A little bit of heavy traffic volume over here on 65 southbound as you approach Trinity Lane. We also saw a lot of heavy traffic 840 eastbound near the Nashville Super Speedway there a few minutes ago. Again, just extra time out here with lots of radar, especially south of Nashville on I-65 as you work your way down certain sections of Williamson County. Princess Hot Chicken has karaoke tonight at the Tanger location. It's always a lot of fun. Order online throughout the day at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The final goodbyes, they're most dear to my heart. This is Jenny Harrison at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Last funeral that I did, I added a extra ribbon to her paw, and it mentioned her wings were ready, but her hearts were not, and she loved it. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square. Plus, we offer delivery to all Rutherford County and as well as surrounding counties.
We'll see a few spotty showers and thunderstorms at times this afternoon. Partial sunshine develops, a high around 90. Tonight, slight chance for storms, a low of 71. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 66.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's EV Car Club has hundreds of members and growing. EV owners, enthusiasts, and anyone interested in learning more about electric vehicles is encouraged to sign up at mte.com/EV Car Club.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, the Good Neighbor Network. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Back here on The Action Line this morning and from the law offices of John Day. John Day, how about that? Joining us this morning. Law offices where? Murfreesboro. I know you have offices here.
Nashville and Brentwood. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Three locations.
And Ben, you, what is it? Do you call it hanging a shingle? Is that what it's called?
We've hung three shingles.
Yes, three shingles. How long ago?
The office opened January 1, 1993. So it's 32 and a half years. And in fact, we just had a work anniversary of an employee who's been with me for 32 years. So she started in June of 1993, and we've worked together 32 years.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's how long I started working here in 93. If you can believe that.
At the age of 16.
I was 16. But that's awesome. So, being a smart insurance consumer is what we want to talk about here this morning, and going to kind of get into both home and car insurance. And, you know, you see a commercial here and the cheapest here and whatnot, but you need to dig a little deeper, I'm assuming, huh?
Well, I think you do. And I think most consumers, if they sat back, took a drink out of their coffee cup and thought about it for 30 seconds, they would realize why they have to. Here's the thing that people don't think about. We purchase insurance for our home, if we're fortunate enough to have one, for our car, for health, for life insurance. We may have disability insurance. We may have dental insurance. And that's a little bit or a big bit out of the monthly budget, five different ways.
Mm-hmm.
When you put them all together, people spend a lot of money on insurance, but it's because it's broken into little segments. They don't necessarily think about it. If you take your average person over 60, who's once again lucky enough to have a home, I'm going to bet that their insurance bill is their second or third biggest bill, their monthly insurance bill that they face. Because many of those people, if they're fiscally prudent, will have had their house paid off or pretty dang close to it.
Sure.
They probably got an older car because they realize that spending money on cars is something that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You do that when you're younger, right? Mm-hmm. Then you get around to figuring out. So they may not have a car payment, but they got insurance payments. And it just adds up to a whole lot of money.
For some, it may be the largest if you take two of those big ticket items off.
That's exactly right. Yeah. If you have no student loans and if you have no vehicle payments and you have no home payments, then it's a fight between that and food.
Yeah.
Food would probably win if you go out to eat a lot. If you eat at home most of the time, for many people, insurance is going to take the day, right? Or be right up there with it. It's going to be back and forth depending on how big your family is. So it's a huge, huge purchase. And so I think people spend a whole lot of money on it without really understanding what they're buying.
Well, I was going to say, if you ask me, you know, what is your liability limit or what, you know, I wouldn't know that the answer to that.
No, I tell you what you would say, Brian. You would say, I have full coverage.
Oh, yeah.
That's when we talk to people who have been in car wrecks or who have been in truck wrecks or motorcycle wrecks, and we say, tell me about the insurance on your, for instance, car. They will say, I have full coverage. And they have absolutely no idea what that means or what the amount of that coverage is.
Well, it's full, right?
It's full. Yeah. It covers what the things for which insurance is sold, but it could be the absolute state minimum for those things, or it could be more than that. And so the result is, because of a lack of understanding, people buy the cheapest policy available if it's full coverage. I mean, I will tell you, Brian, I have lawyers who, we like to think we're fairly smart. I know there's a lot of listeners who would disagree with that, but I know lawyers who have the minimum limits on their car. The minimum limits, because they're too dang busy to take the time to look at anything other than price.
They just call up their friend who's their insurance agent and say, yeah, give me the full coverage. Or
what do I need?
Or what do I need?
Coverage. And then some insurance agents are thinking that consumers are only shopping based on price.
Mm.
And so they want to be competitive because they get paid a commission based on what they sell, right? So it's the first recommendation I would have for any consumer who is buying insurance is to go to an insurance agent. Don't go online.
Mm.
Because the online market is not for people who don't understand insurance. They're going to be pitching price. You want an insurance agent with the heart of a teacher. That is, a man or a woman who's willing to sit down with you, understand your financial condition, understand what your risks are, and then educate you on what's in your best interest to have. That's the number one piece of advice.
You mentioned, you know, not online or do it online. But one thing that I've noticed is a trend of, if you're paying this and it's, you know, like $1,200, look what you could be paying and it's $233.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm sure that gets a lot of people who think, gosh, if I can save this much money, why not? But do you know what you're buying, I guess, is the end result of what you're saying.
That's exactly right. We've all been in, grocery stores. I'll take a fresh market store or a public store as an example. The fruit in those stores looks a whole lot different than the fruit in the lower end grocery stores. You can get a Granny Smith apple at either one.
Sure.
But not all Granny Smith apples are the same. There's lower grades, appearance, the size, they're different, right? And when you go into, so if you have the mindset of only what does it cost when you buy insurance, you're going to get a lower grade product that may not give you the coverage you thought you had.
So to use that grocery store analogy, another thing that I've been seeing online is, I think it's called Misfits or something like that, where you can buy produce or, you know, items from the grocery store that are boxed in correctly or whatnot. And I think it's called Misfits. But you can save a lot of money if you're okay with a pepper that doesn't look like the pepper you're going to see in any of your grocery stores.
Right.
That reminds me of insurance companies who tout themselves as state minimum.
Right. Yeah. And the state minimum will many times be full coverage. But the state minimum liability insurance, that is the coverage that protects you in the event you make a mistake and hurt somebody else, is $25,000 per person. $25,000. Now, let me tell you, $25,000 will get you through the ER at the hospital out here on Medical Center Parkway and one night overnight stay in the closest thing they've got to a trauma unit. In other words, if you make a mistake and you hurt somebody, $25,000 doesn't give you any protection whatsoever. Whatever you have is at risk. Now, if that's all you can afford, if all you can do is just to basically follow the minimum that the law requires, and you're just going to have to take a risk, that's one thing. But if you can afford more, and if you want more protection, you should end up to those state minimums as a default.
Was that a state minimum that was put into place, you know, 2-3 decades ago, and it was maybe a minimum then, but certainly not this many years later, or how did that work?
It's been at least 20 years, Brian. When I started practicing law 44 years ago, it was $10,000 as the state minimum. My memory is it then jumped to 25. It might have been 30, 35 years ago. I don't remember off the top of my head.
But nothing since.
Nothing since. Nothing whatsoever. Because the fact of the matter is, if the state minimum increased, it would increase insurance rates. And the legislature doesn't want to take the wrath of consumers as a whole to see car insurance rates go up. Instead, what happens is that people who are in a wreck will have ruined lives, end up in bankruptcy or whatever.
Yeah.
And those voices are lost in the noise of life, right? They're just lost. So it doesn't, that's never going to trickle up to the legislature.
Wow. And I guess they're the ones who decide this is what the state minimum is.
The legislature sets what the state minimum insurance is, yes.
And that's different in every state?
Yes. Yeah, there are a couple states that have below 25.
Really?
Yes.
But not above? maybe above in some areas like California or something, maybe?
You know, Brian, I can't honestly say if I've seen more or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's 50 different laws.
Sure.
Right?
It's interesting that most states are probably around the same, but when you see a commercial, probably that's why it's got that little mice
fine
type,
written.
Yeah, or whatever at the bottom, and you see initials of states, and by the time you're looking for TN, it goes by. But it's very interesting that full coverage to you and full coverage to me or someone listening could mean totally different things.
That's right. It does. And I without trying to repeat myself, or maybe I, but I certainly am. Full coverage is tells you virtually nothing about whether that policy is right for you. All it tells you is, out of the various options that are part of the standard insurance package, you're getting access to each one.
Is liability the place that you should really concentrate on, is what your liability is in case of an accident?
Liability is one.
Okay.
Is one area. But the other area is, quite frankly, your collision property damage is another important one. A lot of times it will be the same amount as the liability. So $25,000, for example, $50,000 if there's multiple vehicles involved. The problem with that is, look around at the cost of vehicles. The average—I read this morning. The average used car in America right now sells for $30,000.
Wow!
If you have a $25,000 policy and you take out somebody's car, you're on the hook out of your pocket for $5,000. And if you're driving in the nicer area of cars or town, where people have, you know, $80,000 pickup trucks, or $100,000 BMW, Mercedes, Genesis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you take out one of those cars, it's ruinous to you. Now, people are listening to this saying, yeah, but I'm a careful driver. You know what? I'm going to offend somebody when I say this. Every single person who comes into my office thought the same thing the day before they were in a wreck.
Yeah. Well, and earlier... You mentioned a mistake.
Yeah.
We're all capable of making a mistake.
Every single one of us. That's, like I said, the people I represent and the people, quite frankly, that I bring lawsuits against never thought it would happen to them. Most of these folks that I sue, and I've sued thousands of people, thousands, are good people who, for whatever reason, weren't paying attention, or were hurrying to get to work and driving too fast, or they had an extra beer when they shouldn't have and were driving home. They're not all horrible people. Most of them are good people who just made a stupid decision or weren't thinking at all. Any one of us is capable of making that kind of mistake, and the law says that if you make that kind of mistake and you hurt somebody else, you're responsible for the harm you do. Doesn't make any difference if you're a good person.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any difference if you tried to do your best. You have a responsibility to follow the law when you're driving your car. And if you mess up, you're responsible for what happens. And if you don't have enough insurance, you are basically self-insured. In other words, it's on you.
Well, in the insurance company, if there's a payout, they do whatever they're required to do, but they're not just going to, out of the goodness of their heart, oh, well, you're a good person, and here's an extra $25,000. You know, that's not going to happen.
I've never seen it happen. It does not happen.
No, it doesn't.
There's no reason for them to do that. They make a promise to protect their insured, the person who, you know, is alleged to have made a mistake. We're going to protect you up to $25,000 or $50,000 or $100,000. But after that, it's on you, baby. And that's fair.
So let me ask this question. I know we've talked a lot about automobile insurance. I do want to talk about home here, too, in just a second. But what should someone consider? I mean, if the minimum is $25,000, what would be advice that you would give to someone who's thinking, well, maybe I do need to call my insurance person, my insurance agent, and have this conversation? But where should that conversation start?
A good agent who has the heart of a teacher will sit down with you and will want to know something about you. How much money do you make? What kind of assets do you have? Do you own your home? Do you have investment accounts? In other words, how at risk are you if you happen to make a mistake?
Right.
And how much do you have that somebody could might want to go after in a lawsuit? And they will want to understand that. Now, if you're living in an apartment and you don't have any money and you're making $14 an hour, you can't afford $100,000 worth of liability insurance. You just can't afford it.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. But put an asterisk next to that, okay?
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense. But if you're living in a house and there's hundreds and hundreds of them in this community, you're living in a house that's worth $400,000 or $500,000 or $600,000 or $700,000 or $800,000, and you've either got it paid off or you've been paying on it for 15 years, so you got a lot of equity in it by paying down the mortgage and by the growth of prices generally in the market. And if you're sitting on some savings of $50,000 or $100,000 or $150,000, you need a bunch of insurance, because if you happen to make a mistake and if you happen to have somebody flown by helicopter to Vanderbilt to the trauma unit, which, by the way, is about a $60,000 or $70,000 helicopter flight.
So if it's $75,000, your insurance coverage is a quarter of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a third of that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's wild.
I mean, yeah, and Vanderbilt trauma unit runs $25,000 to $30,000 a day. Okay, that's what it costs. So if you've got those kind of assets like I talk about, you need lots of insurance. You know, in my opinion, the scenario I just described, at least $500,000 of insurance. And I can make a heck of an argument that you should buy what's called an umbrella policy on top of that $500,000 for another, at least $1 million. That extra $1 million in this umbrella policy will cost you maybe $100 or $200 a year.
A year?
Yeah. Here's the thing about insurance that most people don't know, and this is why you need an agent to talk to you about it. Where's the biggest risk for an insurance company? Small claims. Because most claims are small claims.
I guess it, yeah.
Right? There's a minor rear ender. In a parking lot or at a stoplight where there's 25 mile an hour traffic. That's where the vast majority of the claims are at the small end. That's where they're going to pay out. The first $25,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 of insurance is tapped into all the time. Okay. How many claims are there worth more than $500,000? Very, very, very few. How many worth more than $1 million? Very, very, very few. Somebody has to get hurt really bad or killed for there to be a massive claim. So the price of insurance per $1,000 worth of coverage drops dramatically as the size of the policy goes up. That's why I'm telling you an umbrella insurance policy that goes on top of your existing coverage, either a $300,000 or a $500,000 floor, costs you about the same price as a steak dinner for two in a nice restaurant with a bottle of wine, which runs about $150 to $200 these days. I'm talking a very nice restaurant,
sure.
Don't get me wrong, but it's not that hard if you work at it, special night, to spend that kind of money on dinner. And that's about what that coverage is going to cost you. Depends on some other issues, but yeah, it's not that expensive. I'll just put it this way. One of the things I've educated my kids on this, each of my adult kids, one's 30, one's 34, have that $1 million policy. For my daughter, who has a home and has two cars, her and her husband have a car, their policy, the extra $1 million was, I think, $180 or $205 a year.
Okay.
And I've convinced them they don't have the kind of money where they can afford $150 dinner, but they'll give up two dinners for the extra coverage.
So does that umbrella will that cover both home and auto?
Yes. Or, okay. Covers your home and your auto, and if you have a boat, it'll cover your boat, and if you have a motorcycle, it'll cover your motorcycle. Yeah, it's literally an umbrella. Mm-hmm. It's over top of, it's in excess of all of your existing coverages. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
We haven't touched a lot on homes, but in the last couple of minutes that we have, you know, we live in an area where there are hailstorms, tornadoes, high winds, and, you know, whatever the state minimums are on your particular policy, you have to think how much does it cost for repairs or, you know, a complete new home or the things inside your home? Because it's only going to pay for what you have coverage for.
Well, again. And it's important to understand, are you buying fair market value coverage or are you buying replacement cost coverage, for instance, for your contents? So I've never been to your home, Brian, but I guarantee you your mattress is worth nothing if you were put it in a garage sale.
True.
But to you, it's worth whatever it would cost you to go out and get a replacement mattress because you're happy with your mattress, right? Yeah. So you don't want to buy a new one. If your home covers only fair market value replacement for internal goods, like, you know, personal property, and something happens, whether it's a tornado or a flood or whatever it is, you're not going to get enough money from your insurance company to replace that mattress. Now, guess what? Replacement coverage costs more. And maybe you can't afford replacement coverage. As long as you know what you're doing, you can make the decision that's right for you. But you can't make that decision without understanding what that policy says. And most people don't have the time to do that kind of research. That's why they can benefit from a good agent.
This has been fun.
Well, it's been fun for me, and I want the audience to know that you didn't fall asleep.
I didn't.
Which is very, very impressive.
Very engaged.
Thank you. I feel so much better about myself.
Good talking to you today, and we'll have to do it again soon.
Thanks, Brian.
John Day of the Law Offices of John Day joining us this morning here on The Action Line.